welcome everyone to Liberty Vineyard, and to those that might be listening to this later online, we want to say welcome to you as well, and just open us, let's open with a word of prayer here. So God, as you're working, as we begin our time of study and learning about you, I pray, God, that you would give us open hearts and open eyes and open minds to see, hear, to think, to understand where you're working, and just allow your word to come alive today, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we as human beings are incredibly efficient processors of things. You know, more than a computer, more than just even information, we're able to take in on a daily basis just vast amounts of information, of external influences. We take in things visually. We take in things auditorily. We take in things internally. We bring in sensations as we touch and feel and hear. We take in emotions that we experience in different situations. We can register inflection in people's voices or in their attitude or their behaviors and what is being meant beyond what's being said. We take in food and different substances, we take in hydration, and as we bring all of this into our body, we have to process all of these things, and we are incredibly efficient at it. We're made that way. God created us to be with our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to just absorb what is useful and to discard what's not. We extract the good even from what might not fully be nutritious or completely healthy. Our bodies are still able to pull out of that whatever is necessary, whatever we might be able to glean from the leftovers. I want you to imagine for a minute, you've likely seen these before on some documentary or some show, a large processing plant, something. For whatever reason, every time I think about this, I think of food. And so we're just going to pretend that it's like some place that brings in vegetables, and they're going to process vegetables that we get into the store. And this large processing plant, they bring in tons of food from the fields, all different kinds, all different qualities, all different things. And as they bring it in, the people have become incredibly efficient at saving what can be saved and discarding what needs to be discarded. And really efficient plants have like a secondary tier of that. They have the discarded things, and then that is sifted through to see what can that be used for. And there's this tiered process as things are used and secondarily used and tertiary and moved down until it becomes waste. The problem in these places is that without proper training, workers are not going to easily be able to identify what is good from what is not good, what is useful from what is not useful. We might end up keeping things that would really not be up to the standard that the plant expects or the consumer would expect. And likewise, we might discard things that are completely useful, thinking that doesn't look quite right, but not understanding that there might be something there. In fact, it's possible, without proper training, for people to completely get backwards on this, to think that the bad stuff is actually good, and to think that the good things are actually bad, end up discarding then good things in favor of keeping the bad stuff. So we must be trained to know what can be saved and what is useless. The same is true in our lives, as much as it's true in these kind of processing plants. See, I'm going to start a new series that doesn't have a name. So it's a no-name series. I'll figure out a name as we go through it. I'll always figure out a name later. And we'll go backwards and assign a name to it. But our anchor scripture for this series is going to be Matthew 15:11. Matthew 15:11 says that it is not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him that defiles him, that makes him unholy, that makes him impure. It's what comes out. And so we're going to take a number of weeks here to go over 5 weeks, if I can get all of this in, in time. The first one today, we're going to talk about what goes in. Next week, we're going to talk about, well, whatever we take in, what should come out? And then we're going to look at when it's good, when should we hold it in, and when should we let it out? And once we know that what we hold in and what we let out, we start to begin to give people a sense of a perception of us. As they see what we let out, they start to discern, oh, they're this kind of a person or that, or they hold this, and people begin to have an idea about us that may or may not actually be the reality of what we feel inside. And I think that's a positive and a negative thing sometimes, and we're going to look at that. And then we're going to kind of make a full circle and come back to another one where Jesus speaks about the same thing in Matthew 23 when he talks about washing the outside of the cup, forgetting all about the inside of the cup. And so we're going to look after all of that and see, are we doing work that washes the outside and forgetting about neglecting the inside, or are we getting the inside clean? And once we know that that's clean, know that the rest of it works out as well. So today we're going to look at this first part. We're going to look at what goes in. Now, we are daily, as I said earlier, bombarded by all kinds of things that come into our minds, into our eyes, to our ears, to our bodies. Some of them healthy, some of them unhealthy, some of them indifferent things. But they might be things that are worthy, or things that are not worthy of our view or our digestion, or things that we should be taking in or not. And some may say, well, and I think a lot have had the response that the best way to handle that then is to completely avoid these things. That any negative thing, any bad thing, any unholy thing should completely avoid this and live in isolation. To do so, you would have to live in isolation, away from society, away from the world as a whole. But one, I don't think it's a very practical thing to say. And two, I don't see a lot of basis for it in Scripture. Because what I see in Scripture is I don't see Jesus living in isolation. I don't see Jesus living away from all of the people, right? He didn't live in isolation. Rather, he kind of sought out the unclean, the unholy, the outcast. Right? He ate with the sinners. He ate with and it brought him a lot of grief, because he was willing to go where other people said, no, that's a boundary. I'm not willing to go there. This is a line that we don't cross. We are holy people given unto God. We don't cross into this place. And Jesus said, I came to what? To seek and to save that which is lost. You can't seek and save things if you're not willing to get in there and get dirty. You can't seek and save if you're not willing to go to the tough places, to go into the middle of it and be able to call people out. And so what I see with Jesus isn't a life lived in isolation, a life that said, I am the most holy and therefore I will stay back as far away from these people as possible. Rather, I see a God coming to earth and saying, I am the most holy and I want to be among you. To call them out. He goes and he eats with them and he heals them, and then he calls them to follow him. But we need to keep in mind, these were people, human beings. These weren't images, they weren't movies, they weren't words. People can be changed. They can be transformed. Images, words, things like that, those don't have much chance of being changed. So I want to look for a second at that scripture, that Matthew 15 scripture. There's something in there we need to understand that I think is really important for us to know for how we're supposed to process what comes in. Jesus says in the beginning of that, it's not what goes into a man, right? Those two words, go and into, are both what you might call purpose words. They're words that the original meaning in the Greek, that it carries intent. In other words, they are, you would go somewhere with a purpose of doing something, not just driving aimlessly. If you get in your car and say, I'm going to the store, you have then a purpose. You have gotten in your car. You are going for something. Likewise, the word into. If you have opened the door and stepped into a place, that you're going into there for the purpose of accomplishing something. And so use together this idea of it's not what goes into a man means that this is something that is not, it's something that when it comes in, it's meant to be purposeful. It's meant to accomplish something. It's meant to be doing something. Jesus went to the sinners for a purpose. He didn't just go to hang out with them because it was fun. He had a purpose. He had an intent. What is your intent when we're bringing in information, when we're engaging in activity, when we find ourselves in different positions, when we see a movie or hear a show or something like that? And I'm gonna walk this back a little bit in just a second, but I want to hear the divide on that for a moment. What is our intent? If it's for self-gratification, for self-indulgence, in other words, to make ourselves feel good, this could be bad for us, unhealthy for us, especially too much of it. But see, we have to temper this one. We have to temper this idea because we do need to be able to do things that bring us joy. We should be able to go and see something and there be... it is impossible. I have finally determined, unless you're willing to only see G-rated Disney movies, to find a movie that does not have something unwholesome in it. And just even in a side word, my wife and I have a rule. We are much older than 17, just by a little. But I'm old enough to see an R-rated movie. We don't watch R-rated movies. We have a rule. It's just a blanket, easy way to say we just don't watch them. There is no good reason for us to see, for me. Now, this is not a rule. Don't say, I said this isn't in the Bible. This is just me saying, I don't watch R-rated movies because I know that nothing good will come out of that for me. There's a reason it's rated R. But you can't go see a PG-13 movie, even a PG movie. Some of the things our kids watch, and you watch it, and I know the kids don't pick up on it, but there's some subtle humor in that, and some subtle things in there that are not, I wouldn't want them to know. I would want to protect them from. And so we have to temper this. My point is, we can't just say, well, I'm just not going to listen to any music on the radio other than Christian music. I'm not going to experience any movies or watch any TV unless it's whatever. That's not realistic. We can process through this. The idea, and we're going to come to this later, is to sort of have a column. Let's imagine that you have two different tanks that you're filling up. If the majority of your tank is getting filled up with things that are for self-gratification, self-indulgence, that just feel good, and they're filled with all kinds of miscellaneous things, more than you're filling up your tank with things that are holy and good, and we're going to look at this a little bit more, then that might be a problem. So back to our purposefulness. If, on the other hand, you're taking this stuff in, ingesting it for the purpose of drawing yourself closer to God or other people closer to Jesus, go for it. It's good. Be cautious. Be careful. Surround yourself with the full armor of God. Protect yourself. Pray. Draw people in. Fill up your tank. Make sure that you are in a good place to be able to go. Jesus often stepped away to other places, to alone, to quiet places, to fill himself up, to get alone with the Father, to hear from God clearly, and then he went out. But go. Do not avoid these places if your intent, if your goal, if your purpose is drawing closer to Jesus or drawing other people closer to Jesus. There was a series of books that came out quite a while ago, about 10 years ago. called the Left Behind series. I don't know if you guys remember. It was a book about the end times. And there's a side story in one of those, one of the last books that stuck with me for a really long time. There's a gentleman in there who had basically been a carouser and a drunk and was often in bars and all of these places. And he is saved. That he comes to understand who Jesus is, understands what this rapture was, what the end of the world times is. And he now has given his life over to God. And the believer, they go looking for him one day, and all the people that they talk to say, oh, you're going to find him in the bar. And they say, oh no, he's back. He's just, you know, you can't. And they go in and they expect. What they find is they find him there in the middle of the bar. And he's like standing up on a table and he's just declaring and shouting all the great things that God's done for him, all the wonderful things that Jesus is, who God is and who Christ is. And it's a very dangerous situation because it's basically in that book, in that series, it's us and them. It's like there's this clear divide. And I say that picture because that is not a holy place to go in and to be found. And this wasn't just a regular kind of a bar. This was not a good place to be in. But he went there with the purpose of declaring Jesus. You see, it may look like Jesus gives us the green light in Matthew 15, like he just says, you know, take in whatever. It's not what goes into a man that makes him unholy, so take in whatever you want. But it's all about the intent. That's what the words mean. What's it for? Why are we doing it? See, we can't just keep bringing in bad or unhealthy or indifferent things over and over and over again. There's a couple of really interesting, you might have seen these documentaries that have been made for this exact purpose. There's one called Supersize Me, where a guy decides that for, I don't remember what the period of time is, a month or 2 months or something, he will every meal only eat McDonald's. I have nothing against McDonald's. It's fine. Eat McDonald's. I personally like Burger King a little better, but you eat McDonald's. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. McDonald's isn't, don't worry about that part of it. It's fried and greasy food that's completely saturated kind of fats. It's not exactly the most wholesome and nutritious food. Is it bad to eat that once in a while? No. I love me some burgers and fries and a shake, and I want to eat those. I love those things. You, however, cannot eat that every single meal, every day, over and over and over again. Why? It isn't good for you. There's another documentary out there called That Sugar Film. And it's about a guy that every day for a month decides that he will eat the equivalent of 40 teaspoons of sugar a day. 40 teaspoons of sugar. That may not sound like that much. And I guarantee I've probably been to some Halloween things when I was a kid where I probably consumed 40 teaspoons of sugar. And I remember paying for those 40 teaspoons of sugar the next morning. But I'm saying it's not, none of this is necessarily terrible for you once, twice. Fine. We are a very, very efficient processors to be able to extract what we need from that, even if it's not necessarily the most healthy thing. However, there's a limit. And if that tank is more full than the healthy tank, we're going to begin to be unhealthy people. If we take enough useless or junk, bad product stuff into us, one of two things is going to happen, and maybe both. Number one, our bodies begin to break down. That's what happens in the videos if you watch these. Bodies begin to break down. Number two, it's very easy in those scenarios for you to lose perspective of what is good. Let me explain. Let's imagine that processing plant again. Let's imagine that that year is an incredibly bad crop. They're just not getting in the quality of the product. Yet they still have to turn a profit and they still have to process. So they begin to process the food. They're getting less of exactly their high standards. And so in order to meet the demand, they start to just lower the standards just a little. right? Let's say the next year the crop's even worse. And they still have to meet the demand. So they're processing, they're pulling in everything they can, and they're meeting the demands, but they're throwing away way more stuff than they used to. And what they're keeping is not quite as good as what they would have expected. But then the third year, they ended up just a wonderful, like, banner kind of crop, the greatest crop. You know what's going to happen? They're going to save more than what they used to. Even though they've got the good standard of stuff, they're going to say, yeah, but we were just saving this other stuff before, even though it was of lesser quality. Why? They've gotten used to lowering that bar, lowering that standard. They've gotten used to saying, this is okay. This is, it's not the best, but it's not terrible for us. It's okay to have this. How long can we live our life taking in the good and the bad and more of the bad before we start to lower that standard and say, well, it's not too bad for me. It's okay. I can handle that. I tell my students all the time when they're learning piano, when they're practicing, this is true of all music really, that as soon as you have a mistake, as soon as you hear it, your ear will tell you, because you've heard enough good music to know what good music and bad music sounds like. When you play something and you hear something that's off, that's your ear sending a signal to your brain to say, pay attention, you're making a mistake. And you need to fix it right then. Because if you don't fix it right then, you're going to do it again. You're going to make it again. And you're going to keep making it. And eventually, you know what happens? It sounds right. That's absolutely true. In a very practical sense, that happens all the time. You will play the wrong thing and think it's the right thing because you've done it so much that you've convinced yourself this is the right answer. And then when I show it to the students, they can't believe it. They say, how did I miss that? We are like that. It's so easy for us to declare that something, just to keep doing it and not really notice anything, and then we find out down the road, oh, that really wasn't the best thing for me to do. The processing plant, I'm going to go back to that analogy for a second. If it receives a load, again, of low quality product, like what I was saying, that doesn't necessarily mean that the processing plant is ruined, right? The processing plant's not bad because it receives a lot of low-quality product. This is what Jesus is saying. It's not what goes in. It doesn't make the person bad, right? It just means that processing plant has to be much more diligent in upholding its standards of what's allowed through, of what's being saved versus what's being discarded. If it does happen long enough, the plant will likely shut down because its yield would just be too small. So if you have those kind of standards and all you're receiving in is bad, eventually the yield will be so small that you can't maintain. See, it's not what goes in. It's what you do with it. And we just can't fill our minds and our bodies and our souls with junk and then say, well, I expect to get a good product out of that. How? We can process stuff. We're very efficient at it. But the yield, what is it yielding to us from what we're bringing in? In Ecclesiastes 3:6, it's in that list of a time to this, a time to that, a time, all of those things, a time for everything under the sun. There's a verse that says there's a time to seek and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep. There's a time to cast away. And it kind of goes along with this idea of you can have too much of a good thing, right? I go through one of my, we'll call it a guilty pleasure, but it's one of the things that I really like for myself that it brings joy to me. It brings happiness to me, okay? I really like comedy. I love comedy. And so on the way home, when I drive home from work, I will often usually have about an hour commute on the way home. And when I drive home from work, I love to put on a comedy thing. And I listen to I generally try, like I said, it's very hard to filter out everything, but I try to listen to stuff that's good, wholesome, uplifting comedy, but still funny comedy. I like it. It lightens my heart. It brings me into a good, happy place. But I noticed something. I noticed that in the times when I'm not focused on things, when I'm just kind of letting my mind wander and drift, let's say I'm doing some manual labor, I'm mowing the yard, and my mind's just running things. You know what my mind, I've fixed this now, but this is how it was happening. You know what my mind thought about more than anything else? I had memorized those comedy sketches, and I could quote them verbatim. And then people would say things, and it would remind me of the comedy sketches. And I have them in my head. And the problem was, are the comedy sketches bad? No. Should you have things in your life that uplift you, that give you joy? Absolutely. Were they bringing me closer to Jesus? No. Were they bringing other people closer to Jesus? Probably not. But they're not necessarily bad things. Problem was, I had ingested so much of it daily that it was probably as much or more than I was bringing Scripture into my life, than I was bringing prayer into my life. And after a while, that's what my mind knows. And I caught myself one day. I was mowing the yard, and I caught myself, and I thought, what if my mind went to Scripture? What if I had Scripture memorized to the degree that I have this memorized? It is ridiculous that I have this memorized and don't have one book of the Bible memorized or something. Now, I work really hard now to remedy that and to temper that. And that's what I was saying at the beginning. There needs to be a temperance to this. But you can't have too much of a good thing. Something, it may not be that it's not even necessarily bad, but just in certain times and places. For instance, if it would lead others astray, if it would cause somebody to stumble. And you have to be cautious. When are you allowing that in? And who are you allowing to know that because the way you process it and the way that they process it are very different things. What is okay for me to watch and to hear is not okay for my 8-year-old daughter to watch and hear. I process differently than she does. I'm older, more mature. I know how to handle it. I'm not saying it's good, but let me go back to what I said earlier. Jesus went to the people, right? He went to people to engage with them. He didn't just go to images and go to watch a movie. Okay, I know there's no movies in Bible times, but he didn't just go to engage with something mindless. He went to people, right? People can be changed. You can transform. You can draw close. You're not changing a movie. You're not changing the images. So we have to be careful how much of that we put in. It's not what goes in, but what you do with it. And we just can't fill our minds, our bodies, and our souls with junk over and over. So what should we fill our minds and our bodies and our spirits with? What should we be filling up with? I'm glad you asked. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn with me? We're going to look not at the Matthew verse, that's our anchor scripture. We're going to look at the one that focuses us for today, which is in Colossians chapter 3. This very short little three verses. It's chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in Colossians. And Paul writes this: if you have been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is. When I read that my mind just, I can't help myself. All I hear is, duh. I can't help it. If you grew up, nobody else grew up in the 80s. Duh was like the thing you said in the 80s. But that's all I can hear in my mind. Like, no kidding. But it bears repeating again and again and again and again. But it's so easy to remember. It makes so much sense. Where's God? In heaven. Where's Christ? We want to be like Christ, who's ascended at the right hand of the Father. If you've been raised with Christ, guess what you should seek? The things of Christ, the things that are above, where He is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth, for you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Right? I just want to point out two words real quick in that. First, in verse 1, it says, if you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above. Seek. You know what that word seek means? It means with intent, to an end. In other words, for a purpose. It's actually the same word that Jesus uses when he says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek. Jesus didn't come to just wander around the earth. He didn't come to just, hopefully somebody will talk to me about God, maybe somebody will ask me about heaven. He went with intent, with purpose, with direction. And what this is saying is that you have been raised with Christ on purpose, with intent, with direction. Seek the things that are above. Right? Fill your mind with those things. Second, in verse 2, he says, set your minds on things that are above. That word set, and I only bring these up because it kind of just pulls all of that stuff together. It means to regulate, to moderate from within. I'm reading this off of a printout of just kind of a little a word analogy of it. The word actually there, it talks about the midriff, the diaphragm in the body, that part that's connected around the heart, all of this part of in us. And what it basically means is to properly regulate your system. It means in an abstract way to give insight that will show itself in outward behavior. Essentially, it says, equates a personal opinion fleshing itself out in the action. It's not what goes into a man, but what comes out. Set your mind on the things that are above. Now, if you have a Bible like mine, if you can turn back one or two pages, you're going to hit the book of Philippians. It's just right before that. And I want you to look at chapter 4. Because like the workers in the processing plant, we need to be trained. We need to learn to discern what is good from what is bad, what is holy from what is unholy, what is useful and purposeful from what is useless and just mindless. Thankfully, God gave us a list. It's a pretty good list. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, listen to these words. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, then think about these things. Let's just go down that list again. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. And then he says, if there is any of those things, think about them. And guess what that word think means? It means to meditate on it and to take it into account and to reason it. It is actually where we get our word logic. And logical comes from this Greek word, to think. To reason to a logical conclusion. It means look at all this stuff. Take it in. Examine it. Weigh it. Put it through all kinds of tests to see, is it good, is it worthy, toward a logical conclusion of saying, yes, this is something worthwhile. This is something good. If you do this enough, examine, discern, take in, look at, like the workers in the processing plant, taking each of the vegetables and just looking at them, examining, is this good from all sides? We become incredibly efficient at doing this. Not only do we become incredibly efficient, we begin to renew our mind. We begin to have a new framework. Daily, if we go through this process, we begin to have a new standard. We begin to reframe our filter. What are we letting through? Do we need to raise our standards of what we allow to pass through? Right? We need to put our actions and the different things that we hear to the test. Now go back with me to Colossians. Okay, everybody got your finger? Just go right back to that same place. Flip back over one book. Look at verse 5 and verse 7. Verse 5, there's a whole different list. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives a list of what's earthly. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which means lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which means idolatry. In verse 7 he says, in these two you once walked when you were living in them. We have these two lists. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is worthy, whatever is right. That which is sexually immoral, impure, lustful, evil. Can you feel it? Can you feel the difference in those two things? Can you feel how much disparity there is between those two columns? If we are those things on that list of the things that are sexually more impure, all of those things, on that list, avoid it at all cost. There's no reason to engage in those things. Can you go to places where people are struggling in that? Go and help people that are in that? Yes. Should you engage in those activities? Absolutely not. That is avoided at all costs. We should not be engaging in sexual immorality, in impurity, in lustful things, in evil things, in idolatry. None of that should touch your body, your mind, your soul, any of that. But the reality is that the majority of our life is not so black and white, cut and clean. There's a lot of it that's not that obvious, that there's this gray area, areas where we might say, well, this is pretty uplifting and this is going well, and then all of a sudden there'll be a scene in a movie that you go, oh my goodness, what in the world am I watching? I've had plenty of times when I told you the story about listening to comedy where I've listened to a bit and I thought, this is great, and then all of a sudden a stream of curse words come out and I think, what? Where's that from? There's no place. And it is so offsetting in those moments. See, it's not always about just immoral and impure. A lot of times it's, is it purposeful? In other words, is it good? Is it uplifting? Is it going to bring good and nutritious things into your body? It's the intent. It's not what goes in, but what goes in does matter. It's not what we take in on purpose, for the purpose of doing something like eating or drinking or entertainment or things like that that necessarily makes you impure. What do you do with it? Is it good for you? We must guard our hearts and our lives and don't just fill them with wastes of time and junk. Right? Certainly not with evil things or impure thoughts. So what's the takeaway here? When you leave today, the moment I finish speaking, honestly, it's happening right now because I'm going to say it and it's going to happen right now. You're immediately met with millions of external influences to your senses, your mind, your thoughts, visual stuff, aural things. You're going to be bombarded with them. You won't be able to leave the parking lot without it. If your radio is on, you're going to hear something immediately. You can't help it. It is the world we live in. Some of those are fine. Some of them are indifferent. Some of them are bad. But it's the world we live in. You can't avoid it all. The goal is to begin to process these things in such a way that it's beneficial not just to your physical health, but to your mental, your spiritual health, and emotional health as well. See, our minds have this default setting, for our sinful nature just has this default setting into it that it will accept and reject info, and it's greatly influenced by the way we're brought up, by the friends we keep, by the surroundings we're in, all kinds of cultural factors. But you can train your mind by daily renewing it in the Scriptures. You do not have to live in default setting mode. You can train and bring it in. Begin to process the process of reprogramming your thoughts. reprogramming your filter. What do you let in? Re-examine your life. Just ask yourself these questions. What do you look at daily? What do you hear? Where do you go, both online and in person? What are you filling your mind with? What are you allowing in? Three columns. The good, the pure, the wholesome. The evil, the impure, the unholy. And then kind of the indifferent. The stuff that is not necessarily good or bad. Which one of those columns on a daily basis is more full? That's what determines your health. If your health is mostly filled with stuff that's purposeless, useless, not bad, just not doesn't really of consequence one way or the other, you're going to slowly start to degrade. If your column is filled with evil and impure things, you need to get it under control, like, immediately. But if your column is filled, if you are filled with things from above, if you set your mind on those things, even if it's just a little at first, so that it offsets the other, you will be amazed at the way that your life will begin to shape. At the way you will not see things the way you used to see them. You will not hear things the way you used to hear them. You will be discerning. You will begin to develop a holiness like Christ. Are you going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Are you going to still have things that you accidentally might see that are impure? Yeah. Are you going to accidentally hear things that are unholy? Probably. But if you have this column completely filled, you'll be able to handle it, to discern it, to discard, and you will become even more efficient in processing what happens in the world. So we have to be willing to ask the tough questions of ourselves and those that we interact with, those that we have in our lives. Is it good? Is it pure, lovely, etc.? And then we have to be willing to make the changes where it's needed. That's hard to do. We're habitual people, and we like the things we like. But we have to be willing to make the changes. It's what Jesus expects of us as believers, and it has never been more needed than in this current generation. Constant bombardment of influences, constantly filled with information. We're in the information age. I mean, you get it everywhere. You cannot avoid it. The images that we see, the information we hear is constant. We have got to be ready and prepared. What are we bringing in? Can I pray for you? So, Father God, in this moment, as we begin to examine, as we begin to see what our lives look like in terms of those columns, in terms of the list that you gave of pure and worthy and good things, would you help us to see with your eyes, Lord? Give us new perspective to see our life for what it really is, and help us to make any changes we need to make. And if we see others walking in that path, let us help them, Lord. Give us a voice, a way in. But Lord, I pray that you would continue to shape us, continue to change our hearts and our minds so that we may become more and more like you. You are holy and worthy and righteous and pure and true and wonderful. Your name is above every name. And God, we love you. We give you glory and honor and praise. That you just do the work that we need you to do in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.